Welcome back to Bonded by Bravo. I am your host, Amy, joined with my beautiful, energetic, excited co-host.
Guys, I just woke up.
Literally. Dom Jen. She did just wake up.
That's why I'm hiding, because no one needs to see these puffy eyes and all the, not looking good. Not looking good.
Those lips look great.
Thanks.
So Jenna was kind enough to close last night and to accommodate my vacation schedule. Mm-hmm. So thank you for doing that. I am in beautiful Mexico, drinking a homemade pina colada that was just delivered to me.
Yeah, how is it? The face you made wasn't.
It's so super... good.
Oh, is it?
It's so good.
Okay. How's vacation?
Good. We got, so I was in, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't tell you this. So we were in Palm Beach. My friend had a wedding in Palm Beach and she's like, we're running this house. Do you want to come down for a few days? Cause we're having this house anyway. And like, mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. Cause I have more vacation days than my husband. So I'm always down for a trip.
You sure are?
Yeah. So I go down and like, I don't know if you know, Palm Beach is like the wealth is like beyond Beverly Hills, beyond New York, beyond the Hamptons, beyond LA. Like it was like, you saw a Bentley every other second. Like I couldn't even keep track of the number of Bentleys I saw. It was insane. The money, like, the houses.
It's like Bay Area money.
It was gross.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was fine. Yeah. And then we're on my husband's work trip. And his boss like rented this sick house. We got here yesterday and a boat picked us up, like a chartered boat, and took us to the house dock because you can only get here by boat.
Oh.
And then like they took all of our luggage off the boat. I'm like getting ready to like hoist up my stuff.
It's like below deck.
Then we got here and you know how they give the towels on below deck? They gave us a towel. They had a welcome drink. Then they sat us down and did like a safety of the house thing. And then they're like, there's paddle boards, there's kayaks, you can have the chef come on these days and these nights. I don't know, it's just it's super bougie, but you know, they can write it off.
If you had one like luxury item, what do you think it would be?
You know, you're saying chef, but then like what if it could be a driver? I think mine would be a driver.
I have one of those.
But like in New York, you know, like instead of having to take the subway everywhere,
very a la Bethany.
Yeah, you know me and Bethany.
God, I think I would have a chef. Truly, my aunt and I talked about this one day, and we were trying to decide because, like, I actually like cleaning can suck, but you're not doing it three times a day, every single day. Like, I can suck it up every, you know, once a week or whatever.
Well, that's the other thing. They have people coming in and clean. There's like staff on the property. They're always around. I'm whispering because I don't know if they're like.
It feels like you're on a Bravo cash trip.
I know. I said like I definitely could get a sketch out of this.
Oh, God. That's great. Well, that's nice.
A chef's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going really good.
I can't tell if the lower face of my like is uglier than the top. I'm having a hard time here today. I'm like, which part of my face
great.
To show? I've been awake for all of 17 minutes.
Thank you.
No, of course. I'm gonna jumpstart this day, you know?
What should we talk about first? Really wanted to talk to you about something that I barely put it on the outline and didn't even like check with you on it first.
What?
I don't know what I'm saying. So I don't know if you've listened to this week's episode of Armchair Expert.
I haven't.
Okay. So
I don't know why either. I don't like when there's two people.
Okay. Well, one of the people it's Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor.
Yeah. A little controversial.
A little controversial, I think, would like put it lightly. And it really bothered me because I feel so strongly about them. And I feel like they're like my friends and would like that they feel strongly about things too. And I think if he wasn't accused of like violence against women, mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe I could like, get, like be like, oh, it's cancel culture and things like that. But like he is accused more than one time against sexual violence against women. And so like sexual assault, and sure, he could, you know, there's no, not every case has been dismissed, and alleged sexual violence against women. And I just think that, I don't know, it really rubbed me the wrong way.
I saw comments online about this. I don't know if
did you? I read all the comments in the thing, and I was like, thank God other people are saying it, because I love them so much. And I don't know why I feel like they're responsible for this, because they don't,
they
like
are.
They're responsible for me. Like, I just feel like not responsible for me, but I feel like I am like on board with them and I have the same beliefs that they do in a lot of areas. And I just would think they would do better research.
Especially Monica. Yeah. Because she's so headstrong when it comes to this kind of stuff that it really does feel like to go against everything that we kind of know of Monica.
And she said, this is the only UFC fighter I know. And if you did, you know how Dax Wikipedia is everyone. Mm-hmm. So like if you're Wikipediaing Conor McGregor, I'm actually here with my friends. And some of my friends are from Ireland and mm-hmm. my one friend is from Dublin. And the stories he tells me, because Dublin's a small town. Mm-hmm. And there are so many stories about Conor McGregor in Dublin, just like knowing a lot of people, getting away with a lot of shit, fighting people like constantly.
I mean, you think of what he does for work and it's like, okay, well, that tracks. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't listen to it. I don't typically like when they have that many people on. I mean, they don't do it often. I think the Hazy one talked about how like they really try and avoid having two people on. And I have no interest in this. Is it's weird. I almost always just listen to the podcast. So it's funny that this is the one that kind of bothers you, and I have just like not even haven't even like given it a thought, to be honest. Thursdays are the day I like better. Like I always like
their expert day
better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I listened, and to me it felt like they were giving him a platform for, and I didn't love it. And it felt like Dax was trying really, really hard. And I don't know. I just, the vibes were icky for me. It was like off-putting for me. But anywho.
Fair.
Speaking of podcasts, I want them to address it. Yeah.
I don't think they will, because they didn't address the Jonathan Van, whatever, what's his name?
Jonathan Van Ness. Yeah.
And I was really thinking they would. Like, I kept listening to, like, the full fact check and, like, the beginning. And I was like, wow, they're not bringing anything up. Unless they maybe knew some of the stuff that was about to come out regarding him anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it gets into the cancel culture thing of it all, but, like.
But that's, like. This is different than just cancel. It's not like he tweeted something somewhat racist in 2010.
Well, and so the reason I'm saying that is because I went on the comments and I looked through all of the comments, and Dax was only liking the comments of people saying like, oh, if we canceled everybody that got accused of this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, there's a video of Conor McGregor's security guard standing outside of a bathroom as Conor McGregor leads a woman into a bathroom who then has accused him of like things. Like it just feels like, I don't know.
Icky. Yeah, not good. Not good. Speaking of other podcasts, Megan Fox was on Call Her Daddy, and I haven't listened to Call Her Daddy in a very long time.
Yeah.
But I listened, and it was really good.
I listened to, like, I think the first 10 minutes,
I really enjoyed it. I ended up, like, watching, instead of watching TV after my shower, like, this last night or whatever, this morning, I watched some of the video. And it was really good. And you could tell she like kind of talks about how Hollywood really could burn you out. Like fame is like not for the faint of heart.
It's a shame because like for a woman like her who is just her, she never got a shot. It's like you're put on this. You are one thing. You're a sex symbol mm-hmm. and you're sexualized. Mm-hmm. What you think, what you say, mm-hmm. none of that. Because what I've heard her on another podcast or I think she was on. No, Machine Gun Kelly was. I've heard her on something else, and she's super smart. Mm-hmm. She also has like a lot of different thinking, and she talks mm-hmm. a lot. Like I'd say, like more like about spirituality.
She did that quite a bit, which was yeah. kind of the timing for the podcast of me listening to that, and I also listened to Kristen Cavallari's mm-hmm. with the spiritual healer was just so timely.
Yeah.
And so, and I've been kind of on this, like, this whole week has been such a weird week.
Yeah. Like, do you want to talk about that?
I mean, so someone I know passed, and it's like, it wasn't like so close of a friend that I feel like I have any right to be like crying or like crazy mourning. But it's like, I saw him on Saturday. Like
it was suddenly.
It was so sudden. And then on Sunday, just like gone. And it just sort of, so like for the rest of the week, I've just been in this like weird, like, holy shit, you really can be here then not. And then it's also like, is that really it? Like what? That can't be it. And like, I don't think that's it. I really believe in like the afterlife. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but so listening to both of these podcasts back to back was like, it was kind of nice. I was like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, there's more.
I thought it was interesting. Cause I listened to Kristen Cavallari's too. She talks a lot. Like, so she's been to many mediums. Mm-hmm. And her brother, she talks very openly about how she lost her brother in the mm-hmm. beginning. There wasn't a lot out, but she's said a lot that he had issues with addiction and that he was getting clean and that he was driving back from a facility, right? Or like a mental health facility or he was on his way there and something happened with the car and he mm-hmm. wandered off, got lost, and then froze to death, which is horrific. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I thought that was really interesting about Kristen Cavallari's was asking for signs.
That's so yesterday I went down a rabbit hole about asking for signs. Mm. And like I've never gotten a sign from my dad and I'm always like,
well, Jen, are you comfortable talking about your dad? Because I don't think you've ever talked about your dad on the podcast.
Well, he's dead. There's not much to say.
You're so annoying. I hate you.
But he died when I was really little. And so I'm like, maybe because it was so long ago, I don't get signs. But then I really feel like part of it is like, maybe I just have never been open enough to receiving them.
Because that's what she was saying. That's what the woman was saying is like, you have to be open. And the other thing she said is you have to ask.
I know. So yesterday I was like trying to think of a sign because it's like, how do I don't like when people are like, you know, and I don't want to discredit anyone for seeing a bird, but like a bird's not gonna do it for me personally.
Yeah.
I can't be like, oh, there's a bird. Yeah, like there's always birds, you know. Like so that's for me is not going to work. I can understand if you're in a place where like a bird that's like not native to that area is like circling and you're like, wait, how the hell did you get here? That would be a little different. So yeah, I don't know if I need any signs. Like I don't need my like lights turning on and off in my home per se.
No, but
like outside the home, I feel good about.
But would you be open to asking for, have you never had a sign from?
I have never. No, I mean, not that I know.
Have you ever had, I think I asked you this before, but have you ever had a dream about your dad?
Twice.
I remember. And you were a teenager.
Both of them were like when we moved out of Northeast Philly, and it was like a kind of like a meeting of my like new friends. Like it wasn't until I got settled and then in college.
And
so both sort of situation.
Like change, life change things.
Yes. Like meeting new friends. But I didn't have any, I haven't had any since I moved to San Francisco. And I feel like I've been waiting for like 9 years.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. Did you hear what she said about dreams too?
Yes.
I thought that was interesting. So she said on the podcast how like when you have a, there's two different types. Was that this? Or she said like if it's a dream and it's really vivid, that's like an actual visitation.
It's like, yeah, you've like entered that plane, like you're at the same vibration.
Yeah.
I do really, and I've heard not just from her, I've read it in that book, Many Lives, Many Masters, which I feel like I've talked about to him, like blue in the face. I've heard on other like podcasts with mediums that the people that we are with in this current lifetime are the people that we continue to be with in our other lifetimes.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm like, I like that for us.
Bonded by Brava. See you on the other side, bitches. It's funny because there was this.
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking for, there's a sign that I chose.
Good.
To see about this, like to see, are we on the right path? Like, is this going to, I just asked yesterday, so I'm going to give it some time, but I'll keep you posted.
It's funny. So I don't know if I told you about this sign. I wrote about it because I was in like a really bad, and I know that I talk about my health stuff a lot on here, but I was in a really bad spot with my health stuff. And I was sitting on my front porch and I had listened to this other podcast about signs and the woman said something about oranges. And I was like, let me just, this is what I'm going to ask for. And I was sitting on my front steps in Brooklyn and I was like, I'm going to ask for a big fat orange on a truck. And I had been like probably crying a bunch that day just because like with my health stuff, it goes in ebbs and flows. And when the days are bad, sometimes they're usually really bad. And I sat on that porch waiting for an orange on a truck for a good hour. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what kind of orange on a truck? Like, I imagined a white truck, like how you would think, like an ice cream truck with a big fat orange on it. Oh, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Orange. Right. And I was like, you weirdo. And so I went to bed. I'd completely forgotten about it. And, you know, I woke up the next day and I'm walking. Me and Meek were walking down our one street and we were going to get coffees. And I'm walking, walking, walking. And I look over. And my question is always like, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be fine? Is everything going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And I look over and do you have Fresh Direct in
San I know Francisco? What it is.
And there was... So on every Fresh Direct truck, they put fruit on the side of their trucks. And I had seen like strawberries and cherries, but I look over and there was orange slices all over the Fresh Direct truck.
Wow. I just got and full I was body
like,
chills.
And I was like, now I'll be damned if that's not an orange on a truck.
I have like full body chills.
And I swear to God, whenever – and it's like – You can see the, like, you'll see them from time to time, but I swear to God, when I'm having bad days, like, there's been oranges on trucks for me.
Wow. I bet the podcast, was it the Chelsea Handler one with Laura Lynn Johnson or whatever her name is?
Maybe this is where I heard about the, she talked about oranges.
Yeah, yeah.
Asking for a sign for oranges. And that's what I heard. And I was like, I'm just going to ask for an orange too.
Yeah. I know. I thought about oranges, but we always have so many clementines in here. So
yeah, it's true. You gotta be specific. I've just said an orange on a truck, and then I was like, holy shit. Anyhow, we digress.
Yeah. So anyway, those were
Your dad's dead. Weird week. And we're gonna have Bonded by Bravo on the other side.
Yes. And just truly, like, sounds so cheesy, but like, just fucking hug the ones you love and tell them that you love them, because tomorrow is definitely not promised. Definitely not promised. Like, they got engaged 3 weeks ago. All we would talk about is like their future plans. So when I was walking my dog on Monday, I was like, how fucking lucky am I to like just be out here cleaning up this dog shit right now? Like, Hell yes. I don't know. It put me in, it just like, I feel like I just got like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mind fucked hard.
It is. Especially when you're like in the same age range as people and like.
He was 33. Younger than me.
Yeah.
Younger than you. No, I'm just kidding.
And this is why we're friends, because we're both such fucking psychos that we don't know how to talk about things that have anything to do with seriousness. Like the first time me and Jenna had, oh, there's a sign. There's a fucking thumbs up on our thing.
Yeah.
The first time me and Jenna, oh, we should tell this story. The first time, did we tell this before, where we ever had a moment together? You were having
pat me on the back.
No, I don't even think I did that. You were having like a hard day at work or whatever, and everything was like happening all at once, as it does sometimes. And yeah. You went into the bathroom and you started like crying, but like frustration tears, I think, right? That, it was about work, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what you want me to do, but do you want me to like touch your shoulder?
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly.
Pat you? I would handle that so differently now. I was not in touch with my feelings then, and I've since changed. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Lots of therapy. Anyhow.
Yeah. Let's
speaking of therapy.
Okay. Oh, what?
Oh, not my own therapy. No. People who need therapy.
Oh, so many. So probably all Bravo Labs. It's just come in their contract. Although that wouldn't be good for TV. So never mind. But everyone's just like calm and like cool and collected. Before we get into either of the shows, did you see Paris Hilton called out Mauricio? Pretty aggressively, I might add.
But like, you stick up for the ones you love. Like, stick I know, up for just, your parents. Like, don't talk about my dad.
I wonder how long they've like won it. Also, Mauricio's TikTok. Someone take that man's phone away. He's gonna get TikTok like, banned from for us. Like,
he is giving. Like douchey, creepy, middle-aged man vibes. Like,
yeah,
no, thank you.
I also was like, is this good for the agency? Because not that I'm in, you know,
you're not in the market.
I'm not in the market, but like, I think I'd see that and be like, I'm going hilling in Highland now, baby. It's giving such cringe. Like,
it really is. Right? Like, would you trust him to sell your house?
Like, it just, I don't know. Anyway, I just had to.
Have you looked at Benny Blanco's TikTok yet? I almost sent it to you last night.
I'm not on TikTok.
We need to work on this. It will change your life. I'm sending you Benny Blanco's TikTok. It's, did you watch Dave on FX? I know you did.
Yes.
Okay. So him and Dave Bird are also really good friends. So Dave Bird makes some appearances on it as well.
Okay, well, that's a selling point for sure. Like,
I know. I know. Don't need to give you selling points. And there's food involved and him cooking. And there's a lot of him smoking pot, which is probably the funniest part. How he is like, the way that he makes a bowl, a bong sound is the funniest thing. He's always like, I'm a little, I might have, and he like does.
I can't even believe people are out here still ripping bongs. I would be in a ditch for a week. We used to hit like like rigged like what would they call it? Like gravity bongs or whatever.
Oh my god.
Before class. And I'm like, literally how? How?
How the hell would you like I could never have done class ever high. I mean, I guess I did in high school, but not like when you had to learn stuff.
I don't know. I really don't know.
That's insane.
Insane. It's crazy what we could like.
Bongs.
Ugh. No, that nasty water. No, thank you.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get into Summer House. Speaking of drugs, getting high.
This episode, man. This episode. You know what I want to say? Okay, so West, we know that we love him. We're going to say that. And I usually wouldn't trust men that wear rings. Okay. But West, I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually a West Stan account.
Yeah. Do you, would you ever, because this is a real question. I keep seeing him with his rings, and I'm like, I would never fuck with a guy who wore rings.
I totally would.
I know you would. Does Kyle wear rings?
No. But like, I could never get past his work is like, actually, it's so funny. Yesterday, some guys at work were like, do you think it would, like, how would, it was such a weird question, but they're like, a guy with like calloused hands, like, would that turn you off? I'm like, it would probably turn me on. Like,
why turn you off?
I was like, that means he works with his hands and his hands aren't all like dainty.
Right. This is also like we're from Philadelphia where like our first ever boyfriends were definitely in some sort of
my hands are reunion. Calloused. Yeah. Like
Meek doesn't have much of a callus. Oh no, he's been going to the gym. He does have some.
This is funny. We should get back to Summer House though, because this was an explosive episode.
Great.
Explosive episode. I do want to say, like, I don't want this to be just like a all team Carl, because although I think Lindsay's so wrong for everything she's doing, she's definitely fed up with him. Like, there's a real ick. She has the ick hard. And then she's just handling it terribly. But I think him not working and them being on top of each other, she's like, oh my God. Like, I think just at this point, everything he does is going to, it almost seems like she's trying to self-sabotage this whole thing. So like, which is her MO. And again, I don't want this to sound like I'm sticking up for Lindsay, because how Lindsay is behaving is like so wrong on so many levels, throwing his sobriety under the bus on national TV in a house with several people, not chill. And then having complete unaware, like the lack of self-awareness is wild. Like I would be really shocked if she's still drinking because if I watched myself back and watched that, if that was my behavior when I was drinking, oh no, we're not drinking anymore. Like I'm worried about telling someone, like I get anxiety because I'm like overly friendly. If this was my move when I'm drunk, no, I am not drinking anymore.
But you're talking about self-awareness, and I do not think, and I said this before, I do not think Lindsay thinks she's doing anything wrong.
But you don't.
And
even
that's
think-
the issue. I don't think she's looking back and being drunk thinking like I did anything wrong. I think she's looking back being like, I had valid points. It had nothing to do with me being drunk. It had to do with Carl being wrong.
Even now rewatching the season.
You saw her on Andy Cohen, right?
Yeah, I did.
The thing that I saw is they walked into that house. Carl's energy was so like, is anybody home? Is anybody home? And Lindsay was like, wah, Debbie Downer. Like,
yeah, she's like a wet blanket all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. And I heard Nick Vile say this, and it was so interesting to me. He said, it's almost like Lindsay's coming in because she's talked about the Scandoval and the Ariana and the whole situation. And it's almost as if he said this and I was like, ding, ding, fucking ding. It's almost as if she's coming in trying to make this like Ariana situation happen. Like she's going to be the Ariana of the situation and she's turning into the Scandoval.
She is. Yeah, like, she sure is. And the way that she brings this up again, like she mentioned Ariana in the first 5 minutes of this season, the pilot. And then to bring it up again. So we have two mentions of this already. We have Ariana and Sandoval's name already mentioned out of Lindsay's mouth. Like, I don't know. That's weird.
And I think it was also, Nick Vile also said this, and I was like, oh shit, like I didn't think about this. Like when Carl broke up with Lindsay, I think Lindsay thought the same things that happened to Ariana were going to happen to her. And so PR Lindsay was like, okay, here comes my money. Make it rain. Start coming in. And after seeing this, it's like, you want to know what I did want to ask you though? So Carl, they talk about him not working and all of that in this, like, oh, he still needs a job. And Carl is talking to Kyle about like what happened the other week. And Lindsay immediately disagreed with the brick and mortar, non-alcoholic sports bar. I wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, as like somebody who works in the industry, what are your thoughts on a...
Honestly, the margins are... I don't disagree with Lindsay just because the margins are so tight already. And if you're going to be in the bar business and you're going to own a bar, I think if you want it to really be yours, like... it needs to be something that like you are down to work. It's a, it's going to be like when we open our, it's going to be a 24/7 job basically. And I'm okay with that because this is the industry I love. And it's like, right. Yes, it's work, but when it's like doing it for yourself in the industry that you love, it'll feel a little less like it. I don't know how to, I just think the margins would be too thin. I don't think he's not, you know, in the industry currently in that capacity. So it's like right. The learning curves are going to be tough and they're going to be expensive as hell.
But besides the learning curves, the thought of.
I think you could have, you know, one or two in each major city, but I still think, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this next generation because they drink a lot less than all the generations that have come before them. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But I think just bars have definitely leaned in. I see it at all the bars. I'm sure everyone that listens, including you, like knows that there are more non-alcoholic options than there have ever been before.
Yeah.
And it's sort of becoming very like normal for people to be ordering non-alcoholics. And it's, there's no like, oh, you're not drinking. Like, it's just like, it's like ordering a beer at this point.
Interesting. I thought the same thing because also like we all know like opening a business, I think the shelf, the lifespan of a restaurant bar is 5 years. And if you can make it past that 5 years, then you have something successful. But I had another question because they talk about Jesse Solomon touching Paige's leg. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the leg touch?
I guess I just was like, of course he did. Cause I actually don't dislike Jesse. I like both of those boys together. I like that they hang out all the time. I guess I would have to see it. Like what in like, did he like touch it and lean over? You know what
I think
mean?
That's what was implied. Also, go ahead, touch my leg. I don't like, I think I'm more like, oh, cause she's in a relationship. Like that's cute that she's respectful. I'm also so far in my relationship that I'm like,
yeah.
Same. You touch my leg.
Same.
Touch my leg.
Same. And maybe she was like, let me just get ahead of this now.
I thought so it was cute.
There's no flirting energy before Craig comes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like, you know, crying to any, like, not that she's crying, but like, if someone touched my leg, like, okay.
Touch my leg.
Yeah.
Rub it. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So then we see Carl and Lindsay get into it again. This is just like, I really appreciated Amanda trying to keep the peace. There, I don't know what it is. I just feel like I'm seeing the side of Amanda this season of like, talk about being the voice of reason. I'm really enjoying her this season. And I do feel like she's trying to be the voice of reason. I feel like she knows Carl really well. She's known Lindsay probably the longest and also knows how to play the game with Lindsay, if you want to say that.
I actually even like wrote down the notes. Like you could tell when they were having that conversation. So they go out that night. They come back. It's just the two of them. Amanda hears them downstairs. And when you... Lindsay, Amanda's dead ass sober, covered in pimple pot like cream. And I was like, yeah, eating ramen. I was like, okay, well, this is relatable.
Such a vibe.
I know. And I'm definitely, I'm definitely the one staying home when everyone else is going out.
I literally was like, what the hell is going on? This would never be me in a million years.
I was like, this is me watching Bravo upstairs in the room. but you could tell that. You know, when she's talking to Lindsay, like she, and the next day even at the pool, she has to be so careful as to not activate Lindsay. I felt like that was so like in her head, like that was the forefront. Like, I don't really agree with anything that you're saying, but I am not going to activate you right now because I don't have the bandwidth.
But this is the thing. Lindsay surrounds herself with people that won't activate her. So Lindsay is never going to be self-aware because she's constantly being catered to because people are just tiptoeing and around her. So no one's ever calling her on her shit. And the second they do, she says things like, Carl, you're Jekyll and Hyde. Like, that fucking comment, I was like, it felt like she was trying to imply something to the audience.
Yeah. And I mean, he could be as well. I mean, he could totally do a switch in their, like, dark moments, but I'm sure it's probably at a moment where, like, he doesn't even know what else to say to her and, like, has also, to blow up.
Did you not get the vibe? Like, I felt like she was implying something else.
I just got, like, you know, one else sees him like I, like, to me, it was more of being like, everyone thinks I'm so crazy and that I'm like the darkness, but you guys haven't seen him. I don't know that I was getting anything implied. It was more implied. It was more of her just like desperately trying to paint a picture. Like, it's not all me. Like, this is coming from a place. You guys just don't see the place it's coming from.
But that's what I mean. Like, I feel like she's trying to play this whole Scandoval, this Sandoval thing. I really feel like she's trying to paint this picture. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it at all. Yeah. It's really bad. And even Gabby's like, you know, I've had friends argue before getting married and it can be stressful, but she's like, this is the same.
Something
it.
Else. Yeah. So
this is something else.
And you wrote on here, and thank God you did, like, why does Bravo not have cars? We have missed two pivotal moments in this fucking season because of there not being a fucking camera in a car. This is insane.
I have no idea. And I was so bummed because I had this thought last week. I think I even texted it to you when I was watching it. And then within like 24 hours, the entire internet had like tweeted about it or whatever. Everyone was like saying the same shit. And I'm like, God damn, if we were just the first. Not that I like think I'm the only one that had that thought, because I think we're all kind of like, why do we not, like, we know what happened in Aspen. Like,
yeah,
what are we doing? Why are we putting these people in lifts? I don't get it.
Such just a waste. Get,
and it's like, you don't think that's where the best probably content, I'm sure.
Of course, because they also know no one's watching. Yeah. There were other things that happened. I think the next, I mean, when they have that conversation on the dock, talking about accountability, like, there was one thing, like Danielle trying to stay out of it and removing herself. I love this for her.
Yeah.
Love for sure. This for her.
Yeah.
Even though it feels a little like she's trying a little too hard to remove herself.
She probably has to try that hard, though, because it is definitely taking up space in the house. You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this weird tension. I mean, I think Gabby says to her, like, or maybe it's Amanda. It's like, you guys can't keep coming up here on Friday nights and having these blowouts. Like, you can't. That's not fair to the rest of the house.
Yeah. So when we get out and they start talking on the dock, Lindsay implying that he's doing drugs, when I think any of us who have smoked weed in our life would never in a million years say, like when she's that's saying, like, drugs. Were you on drugs? If you're saying, were you on drugs to someone, there's never, like, you're not acting aggressively if you're smoking weed.
No.
You're not acting out of character. You're not acting crazy. Like, don't, she's trying to take it back and say, like, that's what I was saying. I was saying, like, did you smoke weed? She's trying to take it all back and talk about a fucking gaslighter. She's used the word gaslighter like three times a season. And what she was doing on the dock, basically, because he wasn't agreeing with her argument and he didn't want to give in to her argument. She said, like, you're gaslighting me and I'm going to walk away.
There should be a drinking game for this episode. And we would all be hammered if the gaslighting comment was just being tossed back and forth. Or not even back and forth. It just, Lindsay was just like, you're gaslighting me. Her whole, she's just like not making any sense. Like, it's very, I can't imagine being in the house with these two people and what that, like, that tension actually feels like.
It's got to be, yeah. And they're supposed to get married and not. I think it was funny that everybody said, once you see the season, you're going to get it. And like, yeah, we're here now.
Yeah, we're here.
Episode one, we get it. I just like thought the, like, the, she just, trying to turn the whole conversation so that it could get her narrative.
I would love to know where her head is really at about this. I
right mean, now?
I know we saw her on Watch What Happens Live, but I would have, I know that she's one of the people that, one of the Bravo celebrities that spends a lot of time online looking through the comments and stuff. Like, I just, I don't, maybe I'm thinking.
Do you know what? This is another thing that they talked about. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is another way that she thought, like, oh, I can get people on my side by making Carl the bad guy, because Carl asked for the ring back. What do you think about that?
I think, yeah, that's fine. What do you want it for anyway?
Not only that, if you fucking broke up with me, I would chuck that ring at your fucking head. It would make a cut.
Yeah,
like, give me a break. What are you going to do with that ring? But fine. It's also a law in New York, whatever. But I feel like she's trying to paint this picture of, like, see, Carl did me wrong. Carl did me wrong. Like, trying
especially because it's like, okay, maybe if he wasn't paying half of your rent still, he probably needs that ring. Truly. I mean, I know that they make some money off of the show. He's back at Loverboy, but, like, I can't imagine that was a cheap ring. Probably wanted the money back. And he's paying half of that $15,000 rent while staying somewhere else right now. That's insane to me. And she's like, so. And she, when I think it was on Watch What Happens, Andy was like, is he still paying half the rent? She was like, yeah, I mean, he called it off and he ended it. It's like, could you imagine if he didn't end it, though? Like, you should be thanking him, because this was not it. This was not it.
And that's why you keep saying to me, like, I wonder what Lindsay's thinking. Lindsay, you've said it. Yeah. Lack self-awareness. Lindsay is not thinking that she did anything wrong. Lindsay is trying to change the narrative. Like, guys, you see what happened to me, right? I didn't do anything. She's not the type of person, like... She is the Sandoval. Nick Vile saying that, I was like, ding, like, that's it. She's the Sandoval.
How do you feel about Carl still paying half that rent? Like, do you think that's fair? I mean, it's months after now.
I think, like, you sign a lease and your name's on it. And if he doesn't pay it and she doesn't pay it, like, he's liable. So it's like, he's basically just saving his ass. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to save his ass in that situation.
But wouldn't it be... like, okay, if you break the lease, then you have to pay probably an amount. Wouldn't that still be cheaper than paying for an entire, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know the other thing that I thought was interesting when Carl was on? So much money for a freaking apartment in Mary Hill, like,
that you don't live in.
Yeah. But the other thing I thought was interesting was Carl saying, that made me just like, he's doing the work, is that he said he isn't dating yet.
I know. I like that. I think that makes sense. I said that, I think,
last week. It doesn't surprise me.
I think let's catch a beat. Like, I think truly trying to go a full year into this. I know he's already a couple years in, but a full year without any attachment to anyone.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that Kyle said that in the interview last year in what's it called? The reunion, that like, you know, I know you wanted to wait a full year and I wish you kind of had. There was a few things that I loved during this. When Sierra wouldn't jump in the pool, I was just thinking, like, if I was there, I would have been like cannonballing in, like, cannonball.
Totally.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wait, speaking of dives, Carl's pencil dive in the background. I was like, no.
No. But it's just so funny because, like, that's the stuff. Like, I feel like we're seeing this side of Carl that's like light and airy that we missed for a few years now, where, like, he's able to really be his true self without drugs and alcohol. And, like, you forget how wonderful he was because that stuff. And now, like, this is bringing him down, having to deal with this bullshit. The way he's fighting with Lindsay, like, if he is a Jekyll and Hyde, imagine having to fight with someone that doesn't take accountability for their actions. Like, you can't see her twisting.
That's what I was kind of trying to say. Like, I think that there could be a Jekyll and Hyde situation there, but only because he's so pushed up against a wall that it's like, is screaming and getting right. this dark only, is that the only thing that's going to kind of get through to you?
And I don't, like, I don't blame him.
I agree.
Like, sorry.
Yeah.
But I felt like she was implying more, like, I don't know. I didn't like what I thought she was implying.
Yeah, she's really trying to bring him down. Like, she's like, he might have caught up the engagement, but she's trying to burn the house down.
On the way out, not even knowing that it's coming. And again, this is still supposed to be your fiance that you're implying these things about.
How they thought they were going
to get married.
To move forward to get married is like so wild to me. And Kyle and I don't fight a lot at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the beginning when you're trying to figure out the relationship, like I know that, you know, that's when things were a little bit like, I would say they were never rocky. They were just always like, okay, we got to figure out our fighting style and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're this far in at this point. It's like, I don't have time to get mad at you. It'll be like for 10 minutes and I'm like, oh my God, get out of my face. And so when I see these couples that are so like toxic towards each other and yet supposed to be married or getting married, it's just really wild.
It's not good. It's not healthy.
It's not good.
All right. What do we think about West and Sierra in this episode? We find out they made out. Okay, there was some kissing.
Don't hate me. I think it's giving platonic. I think it's giving platonic.
Interesting.
I know. I'm so bummed because I really liked it.
I think he's giving platonic.
There's something happening where it's like, this is so fun to flirt, but like, I don't know. Like I'm like, is she really thinking about putting his penis in her? You know? Like, the flirtation is fun, but I just think when it came down to, like, the sexual experience, it's giving, like we're homie vibes. I don't know.
This is what we talked about with Schwartz. Like, Schwartz, we could see, very charming. You can make out with him.
No, don't put like, West with Schwartz.
No. But okay. That's what you're saying. Like, we're, like...
No, because I don't think it's not, believe me, not me. I could 100% like Schwartz. I absolutely could never.
No.
Yes. I think I just am getting this like energy from Sierra that she like likes the flirtation and is like curious to maybe see where it goes. But then after this most recent episode, I was getting like when they're like laying in bed and he like is over her, it's like when they come home from dinner and like kisses her, I was like, this feels like we're homies that flirt, not
and
fun.
He was gonna like dry hump her real quick.
Yeah,
he was gonna, that's like, what it thrust is a few times.
Homies that flirt, not fuck.
I miss those homies.
Wes, we love you. So, yeah, that's where I'm at on that. We'll see how it plays out. But I see the downfall coming.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think anything about the conversation Kyle and Amanda had on the dock about getting back into therapy or no?
Okay, well, as a married person, mm-hmm. I thought it was a little frightening that she said, I don't want to go, I'm PMSing right now. I don't want to get into therapy. But funny, but also like... a little like, I think Amanda has the ick with Kyle. I personally think like she is so good on him. She, to me, she has the ick with Kyle. Like I think there's so much resentment there from her end that it's going to be hard for, I would say in the next year, if we saw a divorce, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, not to, this is actually a perfect transition. Jax Taylor was on the after show or whatever, and I really can't stand him.
I can't wait.
I can't.
Are you going to talk about the Valley?
We can do it briefly. There's not a lot to say, but he does say in the after show, he's like, marriage should be like a lease or like a contract. Like after 10 years, you get to talk to your partner and be like, do you want to keep this up? And if you do, you just keep going. And if you don't, you don't have to get lawyers involved. It's not like a whole divorce thing where you're like going to court and all of this. It's
and just so like we're taking marriage advice from Jax Taylor.
I just think that's not a bad idea because these divorces are expensive. And I mean, 10 years is still a good run. And then you call it. I just don't think it's the worst idea. Forever is a really long time.
Jax Taylor is who you just gave this idea to. I've been married for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I still like my husband.
That's good, but you're probably one of few.
Yeah, but this my issue that I think very strongly, and for someone who's been with someone, you, for a very long time, like, I think people settle for people that they just are like, I'm at this certain age in my life, I want to have a baby, I need to have a baby, so this person's the right time for me having a baby, a la Kristen Doty in this season. And like, so, but like, I've seen that happen so many times where people just settle for not their person. Like, if you're with your person, then like all this other stuff, it ain't it. Anywho,
let's get into perfect transition into Vanderpump Rules / I guess we could just like touch on the Valley.
Sure. I mean, we could just do the transition like how they did.
This episode was like, you know, a nothing burger, but I think that's fine. I think it was just them introducing us to who these people are, whatever. It does look like I'm like a little intrigued. It looks like there's definitely going to be some drama in this.
How about how they did what they did with Vanderpump Rules and Beverly Hills and just transitioned us from Jax coming onto the show and VPR and then just moving interview couches. And I was like, look at you. Like,
they know what how iconic that is.
And it was like, I see what you're doing. Now, Jax Taylor on my screen, and like the thing that was crazy to me was like Jax Taylor being the one that's going to be like, talk about number one man in the group. Like, he thinks he's the fucking big shot. Like, I've had this show. This is my show. He thinks this is his show, that he's running the ship.
He literally was on a podcast saying that this whole thing was his idea. Him, sure. Yeah.
I don't believe that, but anywho, and then the irony of Jax Taylor giving Kristen Doty advice on having children is like, the actual fuck?
It was hard to watch. What I was, because I know we know Jax and already, like, everything I was just like, whatever, like, Jax is Jaxing, and I was not paying that much attention to it. What I was paying attention to, there is a couple in there.
Yeah. And
I think they actually did end up, I mean, they must have had to get ahead of that separation. I don't know. But they separated, it looks like. It's been in the papers. But she is not into him.
Ick. She doesn't like him at all.
Not Jesse like.
And Michelle.
I don't think she respects him. And she probably has good reason, because it sounds like he's like never really, didn't she say he didn't wake up once during when the baby was born?
I mean, sure, fine, but also he's out there calling Lala his mistress and grabbing Kristen Doty's tits.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, sir.
I think I heard that she has someone new. She's moved on.
Yeah. But apparently the thing, it was cheating that she had this guy before. Ooh, scandalous.
Well, I mean, if your husband's a douchebag and doesn't show up,
he is such a tool. You can tell he's a fucking tool bag.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be good. The drama's interesting. I like the blonde chick, the one who's pregnant. She seems like she's going to be have That's, a lot I to said, say.
Yeah, and I like her. Of course, I like her husband. He's so like even keel and calm and like won't disrupt
he's
anything.
Like, yeah, and he's like the voice of, oh God, you are so annoying. Okay. I cannot.
So I actually wrote down, and I was like, I don't think I put it on the outline, but I did want to ask, like, if someone, when you're thinking about Bravo Lebs that you like, are you choosing them because they're good TV or because you, like, relate to that you like their personality?
It's probably because I like their personality.
Okay. That's the same. But then I started thinking, I was like, maybe I should start coming because, having like an answer for both.
Yeah, because if it's good TV, then like you have to like the Lindsays, the Sheenas.
Exactly.
The like because like they're so not self-aware that they're perfect. Like Jax Taylor, yeah. You can't stand him, but he was made for this.
Made for this.
He's what every producer wants. Like some, yeah. I mean, Kristen Doty, the same.
Yeah.
Now, this thing that happened in the valley where the pants were pulled down and then this girl's crying.
What was happening there? Maybe she was tired.
And she said she was postpartum. So, like, we'll give her that one. Hopefully we get to see some more fun stuff from her. Because I would hate if that was my first introduction to TV.
I think she, yeah, I'm thinking, like, she's exhausted. She's got these three kids. Mm-hmm. She's showing up to this party. They're talking about how hot it is. They're like, it is 95 degrees in the valley. So she's out there sweating with these babies. Just kind of, like, I'm giving her all the grace here. Like, passes, you want to cry? You go cry. I don't care what it's about.
Yeah, true.
You know?
All right, VPR, what do you think?
Let me check my notes because I don't really remember.
I know, and I just watched it. I think there's a lot.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I got to start out by why is Anne cleaning up Sandoval's stuff?
I hope is that ever. I just hope whatever job she got next, that she's paid well, that someone took her in. And it's funny because Ariana, you could tell Ariana really likes her.
I know.
Yeah.
Something's happening there, though, because when Ariana was on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked about Anne, and she was, like, kind of playing coy. So she's like,
I think
she said
she works for her now.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's funny. Now, yeah. And this like, whole Ariana and Tom being in the house at the same time.
We got it.
It's just like, it's so weird. And then their friends are coming in and they're like, Ariana leaving while this party's happening is the weirdest thing ever. Like, oh, I have to leave because this party's happening. So then she leaves. Tom Schwartz is there and he's like, hi, Ariana.
They need to just sell this house.
Please, for the love of God.
Yeah. They're like going to. It's going to end up being one of these houses where the realtor is going to have to disclose, like, there's a haunting here.
And you're going to have to sage and do an exorcism.
Yeah. The price, they're like, they're messing with the market value of this home.
This is where Scandoval happened.
You know what was super cringe and haunting? The conversation that Tom Sandoval was having with these girls in the pool. I was squirming. Like, I was actually going like this. Like, I was, no, you can't see, but like holding my hands to my eyes because I was getting like real, like my body, I'm having a visceral reaction right now.
I know.
I'm not being dramatic.
He's like, I live here with my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend of 10 years. And they're like sitting there with their drinks in their hand and they're like, and he's like, what did he say? It's not weird.
It's not weird. We're together for like 10 years. 10 years. Relationship.
And then they cut to the interview and he's like, I could see myself getting back out here. I think I can do this. And then he like makes some weird old man comment about like, what did he say? I don't know.
I don't know. The whole thing was so off the rails. And then when he
still uncomfortable.
Says,
and how old were they? They couldn't be a day over 26. This man's 43 years old. Get
when he
it.
And then when he said to Schwartz, I painted my toenails for you, I almost threw up. I was like, do not show me his feet, Bravo. Like, let me live.
We're good. But I really liked that Schwartz kind of was like, I feel weird doing this. I'm going to dip out. I liked that he did that. There was so many – the scene with – Now then, okay, so then it felt like the Lala and Katie dinner.
There's something definitely, I think something happened at the reunion as well. Because when she was on Watch What Happens Live, what was that, 2 nights ago? Andy, or like she was asked, also this, we gotta, hold on, I have a lot of thoughts right now. They're all coming to me so quickly. So someone asked about like where they stand now, and Katie kind of was like, I don't really know. So something definitely went down during the reunion. But while we're on the topic of Watch What Happens Live, this is just a quick 2-second rant.
Oh my God.
We need to stop. I don't like the call in people. It's so awkward. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, the call in where they like read off a card.
And then they're like, I love you so much. And I love you. And I love you, Andy. And I'm like, oh my God, just ask the fucking question or don't, let's not do this at all.
Wait, I want to say the other thing about Watch What Happens Live when Katie was on there with Lucas Gage, and Lucas Gage said that Chris Appleton made him sign an NDA for their marriage.
I know.
And I wrote into Bravo and Cocktails and was like, why do you think that he, because of the Kardashians, is that why he had to sign an NDA? Like, probably. He was so hush hush. He couldn't say anything about their marriage at all, except that there wasn't cheating and that it was like a manic phase in his life.
When he said this, he was like, that was the most unhinged thing I've ever done in my life, and I'll probably do it 6 more times.
It made me love him.
I love him already.
Love him.
Okay, yeah, so the Lala and Katie dinner, though. I mean, I'm glad that they, in that moment, had some resolution, but I think that they are just...
I think they're on two different... wavelengths, yeah, and just yeah, like, the friendship's just outgrown itself, like it's going two different directions, and I just
their energies that's... yeah, their energies are not aligned.
Yeah, agreed. You know, I listened to this one person say about how and I know we're gonna talk about Ariana and Sheena, because that conversation also was so weird, and the person said like Sheena should just pick Sandoval. Like, her and her relationship with Ariana is outgrowing itself. They're moving on. They're moving in different directions. Like, Sheena needs Sandoval to stay on the show and needs that storyline to have conversations with him. She should just pick Sandoval. Like, so they have this conversation, Ariana and – did you want to talk more about Lala and Katie?
No, I want to go into Ariana and Sheena as well.
So they have this conversation, and Ariana's like, I just wanted to talk to you about Dancing with the Stars. Sheena says, like, you know, I had really thought that I was going to get picked this year. I had dancing coach. What the fuck are you talking about? Can someone from Dancing with the Stars come out and tell us if Sheena had ever even been considered, or if this was just some, like, freaking dream that she had, or like some weird little fever dream? Like, what is she talking about?
So it sounds like, and I guess even from Ariana's end, that their teams do sort of campaign to get them sure on. Like, they're constantly pitching or whatever, and I guess my guess is that the talks were going pretty far is what I'm understanding, and then probably the skin of all happened, and that really kind of elevated Ariana as like, maybe they were going to get someone from one of the Bravo shows, and maybe it was even that show. And then when all of this, and then it ended up going to Ariana instead. And so that's where I guess maybe the animosity comes from.
Okay. I could give Sheena that a little then.
Yeah, I could give her that. And like, there was actually a moment she was talking to Brock, and Brock was like, I'm just like concerned for when this all kind of slows down. And it looked like genuine, like, cause her response was so like, not thought, it was just in the moment. Sheena was like, well, I hope it doesn't, like, as in like, I hope it doesn't slow down for Ariana. Like, let's hope that it keeps just going. I do think she's happy for Ariana. It's all the other stuff that she's trying to pull that I'm like, no.
She's playing, right. It's hard to believe. I hope she's happy too. And I know she said to Ariana, like, I hope you can trust me. And I just was like, can we trust you? I don't know.
I don't know either.
And then one of the last scenes is.
But wait, real quick. Oh. Do you think that Ariana should have told her?
Like, where she do you signed stand an on NDA. That?
But then how did Dan and Katie know?
Did Katie know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She didn't know about Chicago. And I want to talk about that too, because I don't know if you caught. Did you watch the after show?
No, I never watched
there was the after show. The after shows have more juice than the show.
Okay. Well, Dan's her boyfriend, so of course. And I love how like Lisa's the one that's like having this conversation with Ariana. Like, Lisa, you fucking...
Annoying. Was that an actual scene, or was that just like an, I don't remember.
No, they
that.
Filmed it, but they just showed the footage, but they didn't air it. Yeah. I don't know. How do I? Maybe like she was movie like doing things and wasn't talking to her. Like she's talking to Katie about business. So like there could be a reason that she's like, oh, something about her needs to pause because I'm going to be doing that. Like there could be reasons for all of these things. Yeah. She might not have even have told Katie. She could have told their like mutual lawyer for the restaurant, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
So in regards to Chicago, I guess she didn't tell Katie about it, which that seems a little crazy because you're trying to open a restaurant together. But anyway, and Lala calls her out, Ariana out, basically on the after show. Like everyone was pissed, and I think it's Lala and Brittany sitting there in the interview, and there's like there's a comment made that basically says like everyone was pretty upset that she kept it so hush about the Chicago, and then Lala's like, yeah, she didn't even tell Katie who she's trying to open a business with. And so they're
but Chicago. I can completely understand why she would, because Dancing with the Stars was happening at the same time, and it was a big announcement on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
like that she couldn't go on tour with them and everything else. Mm-hmm. But like, who? If this is your friend, why the fuck do you care if she's keeping things hush if she has to?
I'm not saying I would care. I really wouldn't. Like,
right?
Do you get your success? You've had a rough year. Like, do what you got to do. Without the rough year, like that shit, you do have to keep mum. It's Hollywood, like,
and you're signing so many legal documents mm-hmm. that say I am legally bound. If I talk about this or tell mm-hmm. anyone, like, other than your partner or husband or wife or whatever, like, it can't get out there. If the reason she would tell Dan is like he's not in the public eye.
Yeah, yeah, totally. They feel entitled to all the things that she's doing, and I just don't
agree. Sorry. No.
Yeah.
And Lala trying to make her seem like she's a bad person for not. I bet you Katie didn't even care.
I'm sure she didn't. She's probably like, hell yeah, girl.
Yeah, and we'll figure out the stuff. Like, okay, I'll work on the business. They're just basically
waiting. Yeah, and I think that it's like, I feel like most of the business stuff is, it's just waiting on the city.
Yeah.
It's like just to get these certain permits and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Katie and Tom coming face to face in the kitchen. That was quite a scene.
I was surprised. I wasn't sure how much she was going to give him. And I actually was happy. Like, she handled that mm-hmm. like a boss. You know, did you hear Andy Cohen said he watched the last of the seasons and that Lala comes out as the voice of reason this season, and I'm sorry, Andy Cohen. That's not going to fly for me. That's not going to be.
I actually, speaking of Andy Cohen and his opinions, I almost always disagree with him.
I don't even know what he's talking about, and I just feel like Lala's not going to be the voice of reason for me.
No.
So far, Katie is coming so strong as the voice of reason that it's like, yeah.
I feel this is, oh. Should I say this? I feel like sometimes Andy's just like clocking in and like, just, I don't know. I'm not
saying
like,
what do you think people want to hear?
He kind of, and just is like trying to keep it. I don't know. I think let's give up the role. Let's get Craig Conover in there. He'll stir up some shit. we need him to be a little, Craig. I know that they're like the host, but like I need a little more messy. And old Andy Cohen was messy.
Yeah.
It's like this new version. We had a 3-part Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, and we kind of didn't get anything.
No.
Because he didn't want to like push, which is fine. I know that they're friends, but it's like, okay, if that's where we're at, we got to reconsider this role.
Well, so Sandoval apologizes to Katie in this conversation. Mm-hmm. She rolls her eyes. We all roll our eyes. Mm-hmm. He did it. He apologized. It's basically like check for him. I apologized. Okay. How long? I also am like, are we every episode? Is it going to be about him apologizing to everyone? Because mm-hmm. I'm also kind of over that too. Mm-hmm. As a viewer, it's like, I get it. Like half of the people just have seemed to move on and are filming with him now. So like, if that's what we're doing, then let's just fucking do it.
It really makes you wonder what's next for these people and what this show. Because I can't really watch Sandoval for another season, personally.
What, dating, like...
A he really gives show? Me, like, he makes my blood, like, my body feel weird. Like, he really skeeves me out. And I just, I don't know. I am curious to see what happens next for, like, I would watch, I keep seeing stuff online about, like, Ariana and Katie having something. Or either way, the group doesn't feel like a group.
No.
And so it feels like, okay, it's like, I feel like we're constantly reading between the lines.
Yeah.
Of like the getting the friendship back together, aka we have to film together. Like it's really exactly. feeling so forced and that because, we are reading between the lines every episode.
And because we know so much about production, as yeah. everybody does know, kind of when you watch reality TV, you just know that like there's your sheet, like this is the scene we have to film today, this is uh-huh. what we're doing. Like it's ruining it. And
yeah.
it's ironic that we saw Katie. And not Katie, I'm sorry, that we saw Lala and Sheena on the Valley. I was like, are they setting us up for this?
They're 100% going to the Valley.
Yeah.
Like, not a doubt in my mind. That's why I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, those two go there. You know, what if Ariana moves to New York? Oh. I know her best friend Brad did, and, like, he's trying to convince her to move there full time. Her boyfriend's there. I know she has the shop with Katie, so I'm not sure how that would really.
She could do bi-coastal.
She could do bi-coastal, I guess. And then let's it's like, it. We don't really need to see the Tom so much. Like, Tom can do Instagram lives. Like,
for sure.
You know? Let and James has his DJing stuff. Like, I think we're really seeing the end of Vanderpump Rules.
I think if they go back and start doing it, like bring in a whole new cast and bring back mm-hmm. Vanderpump what it was mm-hmm. and the drama, people will watch again. But this group, it's done.
Especially because yeah. I think one of the great joys of like watching the show early on was like they weren't rich and famous.
Exactly. And so, like they know, were in their apartments that didn't yeah. have air conditioning and that the lights mm-hmm. went off when they turned off on the stove and the air conditioner. And they were like trying to make it with their $300 tips every night. Like that, mm-hmm. that was the show. That was the relatable yeah. part. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. I'm going to go back to bed, I think. No, I won't be able to do that. I know.
No. I'm going to go to the beach and drink another pina colada.
Hell yeah, you are.
I am.
I thought you didn't like it.
Well, there's other things down there to drink.
Okay.
For all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us this week. If you don't already, follow us on @BondedByBravoPod on Instagram and TikTok. Also, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. Also, oh yeah, we just started a YouTube. Yeah, follow us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you, friends. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Bonded by Bravo.